Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, whatever you're doing. We're grateful to have you tuning in this morning. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a couple of Jesus' healing stories in the Gospel of Mark, right at the very beginning of his ministry. And as we prepare our hearts and minds to receive that word and whatever teaching the Holy Spirit desires us to have this morning, I want you to enjoy listening to our morning's anthem, one of my favorite David Carmel songs, The Fisherman from the Sea of Galilee, our friend who believes that everyone's going to need to know a little Hebrew in heaven, sing the song Breathe. So enjoy and prepare your hearts for the word that will be offered.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. Zeha Avir Shelim Avir Neshimati Kedushat Shechinatcha Chaya Betochi. Vezehu Lechem Yomi. Zehu lechem yomi, kedushat miladcha medaberet elibi. Ani kamea elecha. For you.
As I mentioned, we're looking at the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus has just begun his ministry by the Sea of Galilee, and he makes his way to what would become his adoptive hometown of Capernaum. So in chapter 1, verse 21, we read of this story. It says, "Then they," and that's Jesus and the disciples, "went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue, and he taught. And they were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent, come out of him.' And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. Now everyone in the synagogue was amazed, and they kept asking one another, 'What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' At once Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee." And then I want to skip down to verse 40. There's another healing story, and it says this. "A leper came to Jesus begging him, and kneeling, he said to Jesus, 'If you choose, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I do choose. Be made clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Now after sternly warning the man, Jesus sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded, as a testimony to them.' But then the man went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the stories of Jesus and the ability to reflect deeply and imagine how those stories might intersect with our current everyday living and lives. So we just pray that your word would come alive in us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we travel to the Holy Land on pilgrimage, we speak about walking in the footsteps of Jesus. However, honestly and historically, we're always kind of approximating where Jesus might have been. We know that, for instance, he walked through the fields and valleys and hills that we walk through in Galilee, but we can't pinpoint the exact trail. I mean, even in Jerusalem, the sites that mark, for instance, Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, those locations are best guesses, not exact locations. With all that said, we know for sure where the synagogue in Capernaum was. We visit excavations of the town of Capernaum, and in the middle of that town, there are remains of what is referred to as the White Synagogue, which dates back to the 4th or 5th century. But then, beneath that White Synagogue, you can see the black volcanic stone foundation of the original synagogue from the 1st century, the synagogue that Jesus would have taught in this particular story. So as pilgrims, we get to stand, as I've done on so many occasions, where Jesus stood when he was confronted in worship by a man with an unclean spirit. I mean, one might think, geographically speaking, that's about as close an encounter as one can have with Jesus, but I'll tell you, I think there are even closer encounters to be had. Those two readings that I shared with you from the book of Mark, I want you just to notice a couple important features of those interactions. And first is that in both cases, and this is important, the only reason the healing took place was because someone cried out for Jesus, right? In the first story in Capernaum, Jews were probably dressed up nicely for worship, all sitting politely in their pews, and then at some point during Jesus' sermon, a gentleman with an agitated spirit cried out, and his condition was made known to all within earshot, most especially Jesus. And similarly, in the leper story, the only reason Jesus had that encounter was because the leper made his way to Jesus, knelt before him, and begged him, saying, "If you choose, you can make me clean." I think what these two stories demonstrate is, if we really want healing, we may need to cry out for Jesus. Apparently, offering a silent prayer during worship will not do. Expecting Jesus to magically know our internal and unspoken needs will not do. Scripture's clear. Jesus was and is a healer. But according to these stories, to be healed by Jesus, you need to cry out to the Lord. We need to make ourselves and our needs known. Now, we all, okay, it's not a secret, we all have things that plague our minds, our bodies, and our spirit. Healing is possible for all of those issues, but we've got to be willing to speak up if we're going to get the help from the Lord or anyone else. And I know what you're probably thinking. You know, if I have to shout out and worship to get a healing, you know what? I'm good. I'll just continue to suffer in silence, right? Now, the other thing to note in these two stories, and I love this about Jesus, is that Jesus doesn't shy away from those who are considered unclean, whether in body, mind, or spirit. And that's a big deal because there are, I'm not going to go into them all, but there are so many laws concerning cleanliness and purity in the Bible. Before antibiotics, purity, keeping clean, was the only way to survive. If someone had a physical malady, the Hebrew process of inspection and cleansing, reinspection, and further purification efforts could take weeks for anyone who happened to come in contact with an ill person. Lepers, for instance, would have been ostracized. They would have been forced to live outside the city. And when they saw anyone who might come in their direction, they were supposed to cover their mouth and cry out, unclean, unclean. So there's all these instructions in the Bible about keeping clean and what to do when someone is unclean or ill. However, in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, there are instructions around sin and atonement offerings that I think might be really important insight into these encounters with Jesus. So I need you to follow me here. If a sin offering, so an offering made at the altar for the forgiveness of sins for someone or some community member, when a sin offering was being offered on the altar of God, maybe it was an unblemished lamb, but when that offering was made, the Bible says if someone purposely or even accidentally touched the offering or the altar, the holiness of the offering or the holiness of the altar itself would be transmitted to the one who came in contact with it. The scripture actually says, the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar shall become holy. And then again, the priest who offers a sin offering, whatever touches that offering and the flesh of that offering shall become holy. So follow me here. Touching something unclean can make a person unclean, but touching something holy can make a person holy. Remember, Jesus would become the atoning sacrifice for all humanity, the unblemished Lamb of God. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have to reconsider. Are these healing stories remarkable because Jesus was willing to risk becoming unclean by touching an unwell person? Or are these stories remarkable because the holiness of Jesus was passed on to the one who dared to make contact with him? Jesus' holiness can be transmitted. He can make, that holiness can make people whole and holy themselves. If you think of the story of the woman with the hemorrhage in the Gospel of Matthew, if you remember that story, the woman approached Jesus and she said to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I'll be made well. If I just make contact. And then when Jesus was touched, he turned around and he said, someone touched me for I noticed the power had gone out of me. That's the moment maybe of that holiness being transmitted. When we reach out for Jesus, he's not at risk of being infected by us, no. We catch what Jesus has, holiness, wholeness, healing. I mean, isn't that amazing? And it's right there in the Bible. That which is unclean can make you unwell, but that which is holy can make you whole and complete. So you may be wondering, like I do, you know, how do we get well then? You know, how does my cancer get healed? How does my marriage get healed? How does my recent job loss get beneficially resolved? How does the chilly estrangement within my family thaw? How does my anxiety, depression ease? How do my worries about myself and those I love lift? I don't know exactly, but I know that Jesus is a healer. And I also know that Jesus can only heal those who make an attempt to get to him. The willingness to cry out for Jesus publicly seems to be the key to summoning Jesus and his holiness in one's direction. Now, as I've said, we all struggle with so much. Sin, addiction, ill health, unhealthy behaviors, broken or breaking relationships. You know, I often say if we were willing to share all that plagues our souls within our church community, we would find so much company and support within this family. And I think honestly, we are getting a bit better at this. I think we're a bit more comfortable with vulnerability. I don't know if you've noticed when you've tuned into our worship services or been in the meeting house in person, but our church prayer time has been getting a lot longer, thanks in large part to our really remarkable pastoral care efforts and leaders. I told one of my friends recently about the increase in our willingness to offer prayers for healing and worship, and my friend said, "Oh, that's great." And then after a pause, he asked, "I'm curious, when people are offering prayers, are they offering prayers for themselves or others?" And I said, "Well, others." And then he said, "You know, when people start publicly offering prayers for themselves and how they ache and struggle, that's when you'll know that you've really made progress." Okay, so we've got a ways to go to be completely comfortable with vulnerability and to be a truly healing community. But I think slowly but surely we're getting there. And I'll tell you, a number of us witnessed a healing moment in Smith Hall last Saturday during our Pivot Men's Breakfast. Toward the end of our meal, a man got up, he's about my age, and he began to talk about the abuse that shook and shaped his life growing up. His father and mother were unspeakably harmful to this man when he was young. He was the oldest of five children, and he took the brunt of their abuse. He went into great detail about the horrors of his childhood. He spoke of how abuse created a rage with him and how he turned to drugs to deal with that internal pain. I'll tell you, for all of us that were there, it was this moving, heart-wrenching testimony. He said, "You know, I just felt like I had to stand up here and share this hurt with you," something that apparently he'd not done previously. He also said that he wanted, more than anything else, to see his mother again and for her to apologize to him for the abuse and to tell him she loved him. Now, what happened next was beautiful, holy, in fact. Pastor Richard, who you likely know well, walked up to the man, put his arm around him, invited me to do the same, and then we invited all the guys to join us. So there we all are, arm in arm, and Pastor Richard began to pray for healing. When the prayer was over, with my arm around this guy, I told him the truth that I know. I just whispered to him, said, "Look, I don't know if your mother will ever apologize to you and tell you she loves you, but this I do know, your Lord forgives you and loves you completely, more than any earthly parent ever could. And maybe you can allow that love to heal you." I'll tell you, I feel closer to Jesus in moments like that than when I stand in the ruins of Capernaum. And incidentally, when we go to the Holy Land, we're touching stones all the time. The stone where it said Jesus was crucified on the cross, the stone top to the place where the tomb was, the stone where it said the manger was in Bethlehem, and we do that as a way to try to connect with Jesus somehow. But I suspect that it's in holy and healing moments like happened last Saturday in Smith Hall that are about as close an encounter with Jesus as we could ever hope to have. But the thing that struck me is that hope and holiness and healing of that moment would not have happened if that man didn't cry out in his hurt and cry out for help. And you know, I've been thinking about it. Of all the crying out that happens in Smith Hall over the years through our morning partnership with AA, that room, which I know you know well, might actually be the most sacred and healing place in our entire building. I mean, we've got prettier space in the sanctuary to be sure, but there may be a lot more healing happening in Smith Hall. So, what do we do with this Lord who's not afraid to come in contact with our sin-sick lives? A large stone in our memorial garden that I know you've seen speaks a profound truth in the form of a beloved scripture. It's a quote from the Gospel of Matthew that you've probably heard many times, but perhaps you can hear it again anew right now. The scripture is, come to me all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And the key is that first phrase, come to me. Come to me. If we want the healing, we need to make the approach. Why? Well, like so many things in life, you've got to ask for what you need if anyone is to know. And when we ask Jesus, when we're willing to cry out, when we're willing to share our burdens within Jesus' family, because remember, the church, Jesus' family, is the body of Christ, according to Paul. We are Christ's presence in the world. So when we share where we ache, when we share our burdens within the body of Christ, whether in the sanctuary or in Smith Hall or in a small group or on a walk with a Christian friend, when we come into contact with our Lord that way, we find that we begin to catch His holiness. Our uncleanness is healed, and we are made whole. And if you'll follow me here, when we're carriers of Jesus' holiness, we can transmit that condition to others. Who knows? We might even be able to ignite a pandemic of holiness that can spread throughout the entire world. Let's pray. Lord God, we do feel, we may not talk about it, we may try to mask it a lot, but we often feel unclean, unwell, unhealthy, spiritually as much as physically. And we need Your healing touch. We need to come in contact with You in the hope that somehow Your holiness will be transmitted to us and our lives will become whole. We don't know exactly how that happens, Lord, but we know that part of it might be a willingness to cry out within Your body, the body of Christ, to cry out within the church where we ache so that healing and support and care might flow in our direction. Grant us courage, Lord, to be that vulnerable and open. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church family, enter into the week ahead with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.